Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 10th, 2007. This is Joe Francica of Directions Media, along with my colleague, Adina Schitzberg. Thanks for joining us. We'll get to the top news of the week shortly, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. With ArcGIS 9.2, you can be more productive with GIS and increase access to geographic knowledge within your organization and on the web. Learn more about ArcGIS 9.2 at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
This week we want to hit on two issues: Google and My Maps and its implications for mashups and startup business models, as well as IBM's position in the global geospatial marketplace. I want to touch on something first with regard to my comments last week about IBM as being the next major GIS player. When I saw the article in the Wall Street Journal last week and how large of a portion of their revenues comes from software, I blogged that I thought that there may be the next entry into the GIS marketplace. It's a situation where certainly they're already there, but it's hidden. And we haven't heard a lot from IBM for a while. And this is not a rant on beating on IBM, because I think it speaks to a much broader situation that's occurring in the geospatial marketplace. And that is that GIS is becoming much more of an integrated technology into solutions than perhaps we once thought, or at least we're in the middle of some evolutionary process where GIS is becoming more of one of the tools that you use to look at the analytical side of your business processes. The way I would position this is that we have talked for a while about enterprise GIS, but this is a case where it's GIS in the enterprise. And in the enterprise model, and I'll refer in our show notes to something that IDC wrote about a year and a half ago, Dave Sonnen's article about enterprise location technology and that space. And it really is correctly positioned, as they have it in that report, as it is a very large opportunity. So one of the things I commented on in my blog was that, you know, why don't we see more of them? I think it's more of a case where GIS to them is just another element. You know, we don't have to see them everywhere, and players like IBM, like SAP, like Oracle are just taking out geospatial technology as just one element to bring to a customer to have them solve a problem.
So in a sense, we're really achieving what many folks predicted 10, maybe more years ago, that GIS was going to become sort of invisible.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, one of the show notes we'll present here is a link to a page on an IBM website that talks to what they're doing in their homeland security ports and customs solutions. This is U.S. customs or any international customs solution. And if you look on that page, about half the items could relate to elements of geospatial technology in that solution. Only one or two of them talk specifically about GIS, but all of them have a location technology aspect to them.
There's two points I want to raise about this. One has to do with an attempt to integrate product and consulting back some years ago, and that was when Convergent Group basically acquired GDS and went into the GIS consulting business with this tool. For those who don't remember, the reason you don't remember is because it wasn't all that successful. And I argued then, and I still think it's true, that people were really hesitant to go to a consultant that had a ownership in a very specific piece of technology.
If you look at what's happening in our space right now, you still obviously have a large presence, you know, influenced by the traditional GIS vendors. You've got Microsoft and Google out there, and you've got a lot of smaller players bringing kind of niche technology into the fold. And so it really could be that a player like an IBM can bring all of this together. Now, the customer, whoever that may be, could be a small local government, could be a utility, should ask themselves, well, how much is this going to cost? This is a big solutions integrator. They're used to looking at $10, $20, $50 million projects. And I refer back to a comment that Mike Underwood of CH2M Hill made to me in an article that we'll also have in the notes, where he says, as a practice, as a geospatial solutions practice within CH2M Hill, they'd rather have 50 smaller, maybe $5 million projects than five $50 million engagements.
The second point I wanted to make actually I think relates to that too, and that's I made a comment a couple of weeks ago that while a lot of businesses were very excited about Web 2.0 and all the possibilities therein, they were very hesitant to go with companies they had never heard of. That is, some of these new startups and some of the new technologies, maybe some of the open source stuff made them a little bit nervous, but no one ever got fired for buying IBM, right?
It could be, and Big Blue has been out there for a long time. Big Blue is out there talking about a lot of different things, but they seem to have a good framework for discussing solutions that are relevant to the customer. I went to the Intergraph website because really they're positioning their company as a solutions provider as well. And they talk a little bit more about product, perhaps a little bit too much, as opposed to some of their solutions, but similar in scope, because they are really focused on national security issues as well for part of their business. And they're beginning to talk the same language. They're kind of the little blue in this case.
This week, Google announced its new My Maps feature, which basically allows anyone to draw on top of and add place marks to maps within Google Maps. Bloggers had to go out and try their first map, and I, of course, did that. And the interface is fine. You can draw lines, and you can drop points, and you can outline polygons. And then you can save that map publicly for anyone to access. It is, in fact, searchable, or will be searchable, via the KML search that we talked about quite a bit in past weeks. So there's a whole bunch of things going on sort of at once that I think need to be highlighted in this new announcement. First of all, and many people pointed this out, Google is late to the party on this sort of functionality. Microsoft, in its live search maps, has that sort of capability. Ask has had that functionality as well. So they are, in a sense, late to the party. And that made some people think about, well, you know, why are they even bothering to do this, since, of course, mashups have been available to do this kind of customization for some time. One blog entry I read suggested that part of the rationale to do this is to try to get Google lock-in, meaning they want to keep you on the Google platform.
Go ahead.
The real big excitement here for me and for others who are looking at this is this ability for end users to very easily create KML that is then searchable. So, you know, while as end users we look at this as a way to easily make and share maps, Google is looking at this as a way to grab and use user-generated content. And for Google, I mean, that's sort of what they're about. If they get a lot of interesting content that people are interested in looking at, that gives them more opportunities to sell advertising, which is how Google makes money right now. This is really a step more toward that, I think, than toward, you know, great mapping necessarily.
Yeah, so this goes back to the concept of the search for the search of places versus the search of pages. And that's an interesting concept to me because I guess that's why they did it, right? I mean, they want more user generated content out there to be searchable. So whether it's points of all the fire hydrants in Dubuque, Iowa, anything can be out there and searchable.
And again, Google is sort of, you know, late to the party on that, since many of the other tools that are available to customize Google Maps already create KML, which is already searchable. Now, another point that needs to be made is that, like many Google additions to its products, this isn't complete yet. And folks have listed lots of things that they'd like to see. The biggest challenge, I think, at this point is that once you make a My Maps map, it is not embeddable. That is, you can't put an interactive map on your website using this tool just yet. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but right now you can't. You can just have a link that will go to that map. In fact, I saw one post today that said that it's all well and good, but they're going to stick with a tool that they're using, which happens to be from Faneuil Media, to make their maps. This is a newspaper down in Florida. The other limitation, I think, from sort of moving from sort of small-time mashups to serious mashups is there's no way to upload large amounts of data. So, for example, you can't take an Excel spreadsheet of addresses or lat long or whatever and upload it yet. This is simply an interactive, you draw the dots on the map sort of thing. So that's another possibility for enhancement. The other way to look at this is in the context of Google's relationship with its mashuppers, that is, the people who have taken advantage of the API in Google Maps to build applications. And there are quite a number of people who feel that this is going to put some of those players, some of whom have received quite a bit of venture funding out of business. These are companies like Placial, for example.
You know, have you heard anything from the partners? Are they commenting on all this?
They are. I actually had a blog post just on that topic. And most of them pretty much said, well, we've got our niche, and, you know, we're doing something slightly different, and it's got a different sort of spin, and we'll be just fine, thank you. I think there's a pretty fair analogy here between what's happening now in this magical Web 2.0 world that we've already seen on the desktop, because Autodesk and ESRI and other players have provided these platforms for development, and folks went out and built applications, and then lo and behold, what happened? Those core platforms started to include more and more of that same functionality. Now, did it put some folks out of business? Absolutely. Did some of those core platform providers acquire some of those partners? Absolutely. The same thing is going on here. This isn't new.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you mentioned was, you know, what if they added functionality like geocoding? You uploaded your spreadsheet, you wanted to do a simple geocode. That kind of impinges on a lot of people's territories.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is that something Google's going to add?
I would think that it's easy to add at this point. It's not special.
No, it's not. I'm sure that there are mashups and third-party tools to do that right now. The real question is, will it be in core Google Maps?
You can envision a scenario where if they just take geocoding as an example, and, you know, you got your average sales guy who now all of a sudden knows how to create his own little Google page and
Google platform.
So does this really start to impinge on the concept of software as a service?
This is certainly marching right down that space, yeah.
Well, I think going back to our first topic with IBM is that all of this stuff could very easily be integrated into an enterprise situation or taken by an IBM and presenting that as a solution. Or for that matter, we already know that CH2ML has an enterprise relationship with Google to implement their solutions using a Google interface. So if you want to tie this all together, I mean, there are certainly things going on there in the marketplace that are suggesting that these little pieces that are being thrown into, you know, Google Maps or Google Earth are reaching an enterprise-level customer. Thanks for joining us today for another Directions Media podcast. ESRI would like to remind you that the Association of American Geographers will hold its conference, AAG 2007, in San Francisco on April 17th to the 20th. Please visit ESRI in booths 703 and 701 to learn more about ESRI's latest solutions for higher education. For more information, please visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. Again, thanks for joining us today on our podcast. We certainly encourage you to provide your input about how we're doing on the podcast. Please comment to us either if you get us at All Points Blog or in the article section of Directions Magazine. We'd love to hear from you. Or please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. And be sure to tell a friend.